bang for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Yes, everybody, what's going on? My name's Stephen Howson, and I'm joined by today Daniel Taylor from The Athletic. Just got your feet under the table?
Yeah. 5 weeks. Enjoying it.
Loving it. As usual, this is sponsored by the good folks at The Athletic, now till the end of the season. And if you'd like to get a month's free trial and 50% off your annual subscription, the link is in the description below. That is theathletic.co.uk/Howson. theathletic.co.uk/Howson. Your new home of football writing. And as you can see, building a roster of absolutely belting United and other Premier League writers. There's a meme going around on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it, actually. It's got like nobody, The Athletic. We spoke to a Colombian under-18s.
Yeah. I think Neil Custis seems a big fan as well, doesn't he?
Do you know what? Every time we do this, it comes up like Neil Custis is fuming, isn't he? And one of the lads has said he's just like someone with his nose pressed against the glass, just like, let me in.
Well, to be fair to Neil, who I've known in years, he has actually said to me he's enjoyed some articles on there, but he's not put that on Twitter yet. So
he's too busy complaining about his service at restaurants and places like that.
To be fair, he's right about Manchester Airport. He's spot on about Manchester
Possibly.
Airport.
Right, so thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure.
Right, so today we're going to try and get stuck into a little bit of your recent article talking about Anthony Martial. I thought you'd have got a load of shit for that. You say you didn't get too much?
No. To be fair, there are some things you write and you realise you are going to get a bit of stick about it. But basically what I wrote was I thought it was fair. I mean, I'm a fan of Martial. He's obviously got loads of talent. He's a big player, you know. I said to you earlier, you know, he's in my fantasy football team, whatever that means. But you know, you are allowed sometimes to criticise a player that you admire as well. You know, you know, is he pushing himself to be the best that he could be? Is he the player that we wanted him to be? You know, yes, he's a key player for United, so maybe you could say maybe I should be looking at other people. Maybe I could have done a piece about Lingard, perhaps, or you know, what's happened with Phil Jones, etc. But I just look at Martial and just think, you know, that lad's got everything. But why did Mourinho not fancy him? Mourinho wanted to get rid of him, basically. And if it wasn't for the people at the top of the club, you know, that is unusual for a club to overrule a manager like that.
And isn't that one of the fundamental issues at United as well?
Yeah, that was a big thing for United. That caused a big split with Mourinho and the board. You know, Mourinho was pretty open to the press, sort of, you know, on and off the record. About that, he wasn't having Martial at all, and it was, you know, you could never look at Martial and think you haven't got the every tool to be the you know, right at the top of your game, because he obviously has, you know, he's, you know, anyone can see that, but it's just, you know, there's just a pattern, basically. You know, he hasn't played for France for 2 years, he's left out of the World Cup squad. You know, I've spoken to mates of mine at L'Equipe and nobody bats an eyelid about it in France. And, you know, yes, they've got Mbappe and they've got great. But Martial should be up there as well, you know. Martial, you know, the last squad that they picked Giroud ahead of him, and there's others that have come in ahead of him, and you know, it should hurt Martial, not just that he's not in the squad, but that basically nobody in France bats an eyelid about it. No, there's no controversy about it. There's no headlines. People calling for him to be in the squad.
Sky Sports debate.
There's nothing. And it's just, so he hasn't played for France for over 2 years. He's made one 90-minute appearance for France in his entire career, and you think, bloody hell, you know, that's quite a surprise to see when I saw that. He scored one goal for them, you know, so he either gets substituted or he comes on as a sub or he doesn't get picked. So Deschamps doesn't seem to rate him that highly. Don't get me wrong, he's you know, he has picked him. Last two times he's picked him, he left him out of the last international squad, which is what sort of compelled me to actually write something. But the last two times he's picked him, Martial's pulled out of an injury, and then he's played for United on the Saturday, which is just the surefire way of upsetting your international manager. But I just think, you know, he'll go for a 2 month spell of playing really well, then he'll disappear. He's had injury problems in France. They think maybe his injury problems are a sign that perhaps his dedication isn't quite right off the pitch as well. You know, is he, you know, to be honest, I can't say either way on that, but that is a theory that certainly exists in France. So it's just, you know, it's not me attacking him. You know, there were a couple of people on Twitter who were like, oh, you know, you know, how can you attack him this way? I'm like, you haven't read the piece, because, you know, people see sometimes just see what they think it is, but actually don't click on the piece and read it, because, you know, I couldn't make it more obvious in the piece. The guy's got everything, you know, fast, can score goals,
the
good finisher.
Of the guy,
yeah, he's got a balance.
Logic.
It's you know, it's a question sometimes of, I mean, Ranieri's not known as digging out players as you would. Mourinho is known for that. Ranieri, when he's a manager at Monaco, and used to regularly dig him out in, you know, on the record interviews in the, you know, I found some interviews in the French press from the time. And he again is saying what I'm saying, which is Martial could get into any team in the world if he wanted. He could be the absolute top of his sport. Now, does he think he's at the top of his sport anyway, play for Man United? You know, it's kind of one of the very biggest clubs in the world. But, you know, you can go high. You know, when's he going to be the main man? When's he going to take United out of, or help take United out of,
when's
his
he going to get into that Ballon d'Or contention, such as the clause that's in his transfer?
We all would have thought that he, you know, he had a brilliant introduction, and it's every so often he'll have a spurt of game. He's played well this year. I didn't think he played well yesterday. I didn't see all of the game, but he seemed to regress yesterday. But he's had an injury this season, which has kept him off. When he's played this season, he's been okay. You know, sometimes how I describe him was, he's a good player, often very good player, and sometimes excellent. But when is he going to be the elite player, you know, that we think he could be? That's the thing.
Is he going to touch that Thierry Henry?
Well,
that's what we sort of wanted at the time.
Yeah, and
they're
big boots. Yeah, they're big boots to fill, aren't they? And you know, people did describe him that way. And you know, when he first arrived, he was just a sensation, wasn't he? You know, but I'm not quite sure he's lived up to that. You know, as you say, I mean, even forget the Ballon d'Or for a minute. When is he going to be? When's he going to be? When's he going to be player? Has he been player of the year for Man United yet? Has he been?
Clean swept them.
Well, yeah, exactly. But has he? To be fair, he did. You know, this is maybe being a bit harsh, but has he been? Has he been a genuine player of the year contender in the Premier League?
A Premier League one, but certainly a United player of the year in his first season.
Exactly.
Scorer.
Yeah, exactly.
Has he featured much since then? Jose, was it Jose's first season where it was he'd start, Rashford comes on and score, Rashford starts, he comes on and scores. That worked really well until Sanchez came and Sanchez derailed the pair of them.
Yeah, so it's just a case of, has he kicked on as we'd have liked? Because you can see he's a great player there. You think he's a natural wearer of United shirt. You know, he was never scared to wear the shirt when he first came. So what is it that's held him back from pushing on from that early dramatic introduction? And it's kind of like a little bit stop-start now where, you know, so people say, oh, you know, Martial's been in good form, you know. Good form, but what about very good form or, like, you know, properly good form, you know. So, you know, I think you are entitled to say you like a player, but they can, you know, it's not an attack or, you know, good players can be criticised for maybe application. You know, that's the question about Martial. You know, you've probably seen that footage of him when he was warming up that time. You know, I mean, I don't know what was going on in his head. Maybe he was told to walk around for 5 minutes or whatever. But you know, it wasn't a shock to see that.
He does seem to have resting, tossed it off face.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when he's happy, he's got that face.
Yeah,
so.
it's quite hard for a manager to get through to him. Because there's no way Mourinho would have lost patience with him if he hadn't tried behind the scenes. Mourinho wouldn't just come in and go, he spoke like he was frustrated, like he'd reached the end of his tether. And basically, I didn't really see Martial in that time kind of like trying to prove his manager wrong. You know, the two of them went in the opposite direction to one another, and you know, Mourinho wanted to get rid of the guy. So you know, and Mourinho is still bitter, and probably always will be, that United didn't let him get his way. Now, I'm a fan of Martial. I actually can understand in a way why United didn't, you know, because there was Pogba as well, and United were looking at it thinking, you know, Martial, Pogba, you know, we could get 8 years out of these guys, you know.
There was the three of them, weren't there? Jose was trying to force out of the club, which was Shaw, Pogba and Martial. And
so they're looking, thinking,
not better.
Well, they were also, you could get a decade out of it. Are you going to get 10 years out of Mourinho? So I can understand their thinking. But it's ballsy because you're basically going against your manager, which very few clubs do. United, you know, especially United. As soon as you do that, I think Gary Neville said, as soon as they started doing that, you know, Mourinho's dead in the water, basically, which I get. But I can equally get that United are looking at it thinking, you know, United with Mourinho basically realised that summer when Mourinho started going on, there was that pre-season game where he started talking about, you know, I don't know why people pay to come watch us. And I think that was when Ed Woodward decide or realise this is going to go belly up, basically. And so why would you get rid of Pogba, Martial, Shaw, players that could be there 10 years on the say-so of a manager that you're thinking, is this going to be the last 6 months of this manager? You know, Mourinho, what if he does... If Mourinho does 3.5, 4 years at Spurs, that's his record in football. So I can get that. I can sort of see it both ways, you know. It's but you know, Martial, you know, it's, I wouldn't say he's drifting, but he's just kind of, you know, going along steady, sort of, you know, between sort of 6 out of 10, 8 out of 10 sometimes. You know, when we're going to see the 9 out of 10s, like on a regular basis, you know, kind of like you do with, you know, you've seen like Harry Kane sort of just like go. Harry Kane always wants to better himself. You know, he's just like so driven, and I'm just not sure that Martial's got that. You know, and sometimes it's a personality thing, but, you know, maybe he's not got that inner will.
His personality, he might have it, but I think a lot of his, as we said before, like resting, tossed it off face, makes it look like he doesn't care, when he does. But you said there was...
I might be being unfair of him when I say maybe he doesn't have that. Maybe he does. There's a story about him when he got at Monaco, and this wasn't Ranieri, it was Jardim. Basically, he was getting annoyed of him as well. And he put him on the bench, and then he brought him on in the 61st minute. And Martial sort of like wandered around, and he took him off again in the 88th minute. And that was live on French TV. That's a humiliation as much as you... That's a public ordeal.
Well, being subbed on and off again is bad, isn't it?
Well, especially if it's in the second half and it's like 20 minutes in it. And Martial kind of like what impassive. So he has got that. You can't read what he's thinking. So I'm not a mind reader. You know, maybe I'm being slightly harsh on him to say he hasn't got the drive to, you know, you must have some drive to make it as a professional footballer and to make it to the level he's got to. But, you know, you just have to, you know, it's just, you know, has he got enough to push on to be that next level?
Yeah. And there was also something you wrote about in Van Gaal's time, he pulled out of an injury, joined in the next training session with issues. And
yeah, that was Norwich away, and that was May 2016. And he pulled out, and then basically I think they were playing again midweek, so they were back in the next day, or if not the next day, it would have been like the Monday morning. It was like the next training session, and he trained fine. I don't know about players plural, but I know certainly one senior player was like, seriously just looking at him thinking, what are you doing, you know? And I think the phrase was just didn't fancy it. That was the phrase, which again, you know, I haven't spoken to Martial about that. You know, maybe he would say, well, I didn't, you know, I had an injury, you know, I had a little tweak and I didn't want to make it worse, but you know, when that's coming from the dressing room, kind of, you know, it always sticks in my mind. So, you know, it's not a new anecdote, it's, what is it, 3 years ago now, but it just, you know, sort of little story that you always sort of, you know, I think back to.
There does seem to be, if not any rumours going round, there just seems to be the vibe, and I've took some criticism for saying it already this year, that I don't have any evidence, no one's told me anything, no one's leaked anything to me, but I just have a gut feeling that I look at this United team and I look at what Solskjaer's trying to achieve with... I think it's quite a workmanlike team that I think he's trying to build. I think. I don't know for definite that's what he's doing. Obviously, I've not sat down with him and asked him, but I think he's trying to build a workmanlike team. And I see some players that don't quite fit that, and Marshall's one of them. David Ornstein's been covering something this morning where he says that there is definite interest in it. Might have even... Adam Crafton actually mentioned it, that they intensified our interest in someone like Erling Haaland. There's the back and forth over whether Raiola would be an issue. You don't seem to think that Raiola would be an issue.
I don't think it would be, because when I've spoken to the sort of the relevant people sort of behind the scenes at United, I've always thought, from the outside looking in, you always think, God, you know, how do you deal with Raiola? You know, the guy's a nightmare. You know, he's a one-off, he's a loose cannon. You know, we've all seen Fergie's quote on him. And so you automatically think, God, you know, if you can avoid having to deal with... But United have actually... United have dealt with him a lot in the past. Obviously, Zlatan...
Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, yeah. And so whenever I've kind of broached this, the subject of, you know, what's that like? You know, because, I mean, I don't know if you've read Ibrahimovic's book, but there's so many stories in there of Raiola sort of, you know, going into the offices of Inter Milan and sitting in the president's... In the president's seat with his feet on the table, and the president sort of walks in, and so, you know, the guy is, you know, he goes by his own rules. You know what I mean? So, from United's perspective, I've always been told that they don't mind the way he deals because he's very upfront. So there's no real games about it, and basically, like, he will, there's no hidden cost for his players. You know, he'll write, you know, it's all laid out for him.
It's just massive.
Yeah, well, for his and for him.
That's why I don't need the hidden cost.
Yeah, and for him, basically. You know, so, but I've never detected there's a problem, put it that way. And to be fair, even though there's a bit of a rolling, you know, the rolling of eyes, basically, I kind of get the feeling they all get on reasonably well, is the impression I got. Now, that last time I had that conversation would have been summer, so unless something's changed since then, so I can't exactly say, you know, I've checked it out this morning, but certainly my last conversation about Raiola with people at United who obviously sort of knew about that situation, it was all quite positive, to be honest, and it surprised me because I thought he'd be a nightmare. You know, if I was a chief executive, I'd be, you know, partly put me off time to try and, you know, going after that player, because, you know, he like I say, he's bullying the China shop. He goes by his own
rules. He's got to be pants down. But if you phone him up and go, we're interested, and he's going to go, it's going to cost you that.
Yeah.
At least you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine Raiola probably likes working for United, because United have turned, well, he's already in the super rich, but, you know, according to the figures we see on Pogba and stuff.
Right, yeah.
You know, so maybe Raiola's kind of come out on top in the past in those dealings. But listen, if United want the player badly enough, I don't think it would be a problem that Raiola's there. That'd be my hunch anyway.
Does Haaland suit our style of play that we think we're working towards? Do you think there's anything in that?
I think he does, because basically I don't see enough creativity there. I don't think Pereira's good enough. Sorry, you know, I think he's had his chance.
He's had lots of chances.
Yeah, he has, and he's been played number 10. He started the season number 10, which was a surprise. You know, Solskjaer's obviously seen something there, or maybe it's a lack of options, I don't know. But, you know, he's played ahead of Lingard, he's played ahead of Mata.
Gomez.
I just, you know, there's a few players at United. I've been, you know, I've covered United. I came up to Manchester to start covering United in 98, so... You know, it's a long time, and I've seen a lot of good players, and I just don't think for United standards, you know, I'm not saying he couldn't make it and have a very good career somewhere else, but certainly in that position, I just don't think he's created enough creatively. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him have the odd good game and stuff, but not well enough. And yesterday, I thought he was poor yesterday, and just, you know, I just think it needs a bit more creativity. No, I'm not talking about number 10. It needs. You know, more penetrative. I think they know this as well. You know, you know, it's going forward. Yeah, they've actually started scoring goals, but there was a period, wasn't there, for like, you know, where he couldn't score more than one goal. So yeah, you know, he's exactly the type of player. You know, young, talented. You know, he's got, can see a pass. You know, sets up goals, scores goals. You know, yeah.
Do you think it'd be a case of bring him in? Or do you think it'd be bring him in and move Marshall on, because we haven't replaced Lukaku?
No,
so still a spot there, really.
Yeah, I actually think you need to bring two or three forward players in, and maybe Pereira. I'm not sure Mata's going to be huge. You know, Mata's a good player to have around the dressing room, and there's more to it than just what he does on the pitch and stuff. But you know, I think Mata's best. I'm not being unkind. I think Mata's best days.
I don't disagree, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually, I'm not talking about getting rid of any of the top players. Funny enough, I saw someone from TalkSport yesterday saying Leicester should make a bid for Rashford, and I'm like, yeah, it's not got that bad yet at United, I don't think. But
Marcus has got 10 goals, 3 assists in his last 11 games. Or something.
I think they were basically trying to say that why would anyone want to be at United rather than at Leicester? And I was not quite, you know, thought it was maybe slightly short-term view there. But but no, I mean, Martial, I want to keep him. I just want to see a bit more from him. And, you know, you need more. I'm not sure Martial was an actual number nine. Actually, you know, is he better coming in from the left? But yeah, Lukaku was never replaced, and that has come back to bite United, hasn't it? So
he needs replacing. Herrera needs replacing. Someone in even the Fellaini mould of being a plan B needs replacing.
There's you can go through the team. There's a lot of players United need. The recruitment. United say they're now happy with it. The model rather than. It's taken an awfully long time to get to that point where they're happy with it.
But on that, the United released this as a bragging statement. Yeah. And I go, this isn't something to brag on.
No, it's
800 fullbacks scouted and you went for the most expensive one?
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw what Steve Walsh said as well. Recently did an interview for The Athletic and he basically said, he said what his eyes told him was that United had not signed a particularly good footballer. Got a decent defender, but United needed a good footballer as well for that, you know, because obviously the modern role the modern role of the fullback demands it, doesn't it? So I hear what you're saying, you know, basically, yeah, I mean to be fair to United, they will admit it's not been good. You could actually go much further and say it's been pretty abysmal, to be honest. And the reason why I would stick up for Solskjaer is only because I just feel like he's been left with a squad of players. I don't think any, I wouldn't say any manager, but I don't think many managers could get them particularly much nearer.
If you give that 11 yesterday, that midfield of Fred and Pereira, we all saw that 11 and went, well, I understand why he's gone with the back three, because they're both generally attack-minded, so he's gone with an extra defender to sort of mitigate that.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to kind of play them forward three, and that's literally the only three forward three we could start. Who else, like what other manager in world football takes that 11 and gets like a solid good result out of that?
Yeah, well, I hear you. Fred again, I mean, when we're talking about recruitment, Fred doesn't get the coverage he deserves, but I mean, for the cost he was, you know, people sort of would go on about Sanchez because of the wages and stuff, but Fred's been a transfer disaster for United and just sort of sums it up, you know, basically.
Would he have looked all right in a City team? Because he was head-to-head for City, wasn't it?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, just from what I've seen from United, it's not like he's only been here a month now.
No.
It's just not good enough. It's just basically, technically not good enough. Basically, he's just giving the ball away all the time.
We had a midfielder, two Brazilians yesterday that couldn't pass.
Yeah, I know. And
how's that even possible?
I mean, I don't want to be, you know, keep harping back to the, but like I said to you, you know, like when I came to United, it was, you know, it was Beckham, Keane, Scholes, Nicky Butt sometimes. Gigs on the left, that midfield.
That was all right.
Yeah, it was not a bad midfield, though. And it just
did a good job, I guess.
But then, you know, there's Carrick. You know, there's. It's as weak a midfield as you were saying. I mean, basically, people, you know, a few weeks ago talking about, is this the worst United 11 we've seen for donkey's years, basically. You know?
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I'm not giving Solskjaer a free pass here in any way whatsoever, but. Look, that squad is just not going to, you know, it's going to take a few years to get it anywhere near back. And you think, spent hundreds of millions getting to that point. How has that happened? And unfortunately, you know, that's where you have to bring in Edward Wood, the transfer. So, yeah, they're talking about now, they're happy with it now. They think they've got the right model in place. In however long it's taken them to be happy with what they've got now, it's set United back years. Like properly years. I just can't see how you're going to catch Man City in particular, because Liverpool as well, but Man City in particular, because you know Man City are just going to keep splurging. I mean, Liverpool have spent a hell of a lot of money as well, but you know, City in particular, you know, you look at what they're doing behind the scenes and they're just going to get bigger basically and bigger. So
do you think there's I think there's a scrutiny on United that's fair or unfair, because you do see the likes of Leicester being able to pick up some real intelligent recruitment that we're just not capable of doing, and undoubtedly their 11's better.
I think it's definitely fair, basically, and I think to be fair, I think it probably deserves more scrutiny than it's got, really. the recruitment has been really bad. I mean, they will admit this, you know. I think, you know, Ed Woodward did an interview with Andy Mitten, and he basically, you know, and in other conversations, they will say, you know, I mean, but you can't hide it. But, yeah, of course it's fair. It's Man United, isn't it? It's always going to, you know, what Fergie used to say, that basically a 0-0 draw against Bury in the League Cup could get on the news at 10 with this club. So, you know, it's, it's a bit of a mess, to be honest. And like I said, you know, it's taken so long. To be fair, yeah, it did have to be modernised. The club, when Fergie left, was very much in his way. You know, basically, if Fergie wanted a player, you know, Fergie would ring the assistant manager of the other club or whatever, you know, and he had the biggest contact book in football, and everyone would take his call. They had a network of scouts, which was run by his brother. It was all quite sort of, you know, they would sometimes sign a player within 3 days. You know, now it's like an 8-month process. One of the things that I found very interesting when I spoke to people at the start in the summer was, you know, United now, they there's a great story about when they signed Rojo, that basically, I was pronouncing it incorrectly, forgive me, when they signed him, they didn't realise that he was facing a possible trial in Argentina, because he was accused of bottling someone in Argentina, his neighbour or something, and then I think someone else that came come to his
rescue. It's not on brand, is it?
Well, I mean, definitely. But it was all on YouTube. Sorry, not YouTube. It was all on Google, and United didn't know anything about it. And he'd signed, and the first they knew about it was, I think it was Daily Mirror rang United and said, your new signing could be going for a trial and possibly to prison if he gets. Now, I should probably say for the benefit of this, but that the charges were dropped in the end, etc. But United didn't know anything about it. So United now have like spying firms. Now, I don't quite know how it works, because obviously, in terms of spying, if I knew how it worked, then they wouldn't be very good at spying, would they? But basically, you know, people they employ people to look into the backgrounds of, because obviously these are multi-million pound assets, so they don't want to make like a huge costly mistake. So this is the level of, you know, these are 8 to 12 month projects to sign these players, where they don't just look at every game, and they've got all these, you know, kind of like incredible sort of statistical details, but they've got spying firms to look into the background.
So like private investigators?
To make sure that they're not going to sign someone who basically could be having a trial in South America and could be ending up going to prison. So this is like, the process is now like the most whereas Fergie would just sort of, you know, so sometimes you prefer that, don't you? Sometimes it didn't. To be fair, Fergie did sign some shockers as well. You know, they... there's plenty of, you know, Fergie signed Bebe, and, you know, you could go through quite a...
It was probably about a 50% hit rate with Fergie.
It's not been quite that high this time, though, has it? You know, like, because the good 50% were tending to be very good. Like, I mean, who have United signed since Fergie left that you'd classify like that? Not many, is there?
Since Fergie left, is Marshall in that 50%?
Top level good. Certainly not many anyway.
Zlatan was arguably our most successful transfer, and he was here 18 months.
I
think that's fundamentally the issue that's happened with United post Fergie, is we've signed a lot of players.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of players.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Pep signed 50 something players.
Yeah.
He's got most of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really get rid of a lot of them.
City went through a period where they bought badly as well, and that period, they've come out of that period, but they bought really well at the start, so they got the kind of nucleus. They got Kompany, Aguero, David Silva,
that spine.
Yeah, that was before Pep.
Yeah.
And then they bought badly for a while, and then they started buying, and then they bought better again. And there's still a few that they've signed that are just...
Well, you could put Otamendi and Stones and Mendy into as it works category.
Yeah, there's plenty, but there's... But they've got a much higher success rate, put it that way.
Those players that have hit that ceiling, that core, Kompany, Silva, Aguero, Torre. Yeah.
But then when they started buying well again, they got, you know, De Bruyne. Bernardo Silva's been really good.
Sterling.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Walker's been good for them, and, you know, expensive. You know, United, funny enough, mentioning him, United site, Kyle Walker was the transfer that made transfer business silly. which is a bit hypocritical, kind of, when you think, you know, you've signed Fred for probably, was he slightly more? And, you know, I mean, Daniel James has done well. You know, there were people United have signed that, you know.
But everybody started well. Yeah. I remember when Lindelof looked good at the start.
Yeah, he did.
Mkhitaryan briefly looked good at the start.
Yeah.
Bailey looked good at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was saying, like, we're due a dud, like, because he's just signed all these great players in his first season, and Zlatan moved on, Bailey's just been injured, Mkhitaryan's, you know, that didn't clearly work.
But even the player he didn't bring in, so to get rid of Lukaku, who, whatever you thought of him, was 20 goals. Where, you know, his touch was heavy, you know, it seemed to sort behind the scenes. Gary Neville said that he was overweight. You know, Gary Neville knows, you know, he's good mates with Nicky Butt. I always think Gary Neville's probably, if he's saying something like that, he will have had it informed.
So it's worthless.
Yeah, because basically, you know, he obviously, you know, his mates in there, I'm not saying he got it from Nicky Butt, but he wouldn't just pluck that out of thin air, wouldn't he? So, but he's still 20 goals a season. Now, you know, that's a big hit to lose that. So what the point is, to lose 20 goals a season, and then you're talking about you've had all summer, and, you know, we were mentioning before about they spend actually 9 months looking at these players. That's really bad, I think. That's chopped Solskjaer down, like taking his knees off a little bit.
And this is one of Solskjaer's major problems as well, is Solskjaer is too nice.
Yeah.
And as we were saying before we got started, Solskjaer's, you can almost write his answers in press conferences. You know he's going to say,
I'm
a squad.
I don't want to sound cruel or anything, but I mean, I've almost sort of stopped listening to his answers because...
He wouldn't have wanted to sell 8 players and only sign 3.
Every
manager would have wanted to sign 20.
Yeah, but equally, the way he is, his personality is, and basically, because Mourinho fractured everything. I mean, I've been sort of laughing this week. Mourinho's talked about his 50 messages he's got from United, and, you know, when Mourinho left, it's put to me that the players were going to have a party. You know, that wouldn't mean every single player, but, you know, it was described as kind of like never knowing a manager going, the players being happier. You know, and just at the end of the season, they were just mentally gone. Like, they'd found it so sappy, you know, they'd been worn down, basically, by... Mm. You know, I'm not sure Mourinho, some of the comments he's made, where he always has his charm offensive, doesn't he, at the start of every job, and, you know, and he is a charming guy. He's got... But I'm not quite sure this whole kind of, you know, I've had 50 messages from United. And
as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's a lot of bollocks.
Yeah. But... When Solskjaer's come in, and it's worked for, he's basically tried to bring everyone back together, and because of that, he's not going to turn up a press conference and say, "Yeah, I can't believe the club have sold a striker and not given me a replacement." Of course it is, and so, you know, so everything with, you know, it's bland, isn't it? It's a bit grey, and I don't mean this offensively. It's just what it is. You know, and when talking about Gray, you know, you're looking at Solskjaer and he seems to have aged as well. You know, like, you know, nobody calls him the baby-faced assassin now, do they? You know, he's kind of, you know, it's like, I mean, not quite as obvious as David Moyes, but David Moyes, after 6 months, you know, I think Sam Allardyce said he's aged 10 years. You know, he was gaunt, and like, Solskjaer's not quite as bad, but Solskjaer's kind of gone grey, isn't he? You know, he you look at someone, you can see the job is taking its toll on him a little bit.
Well, even the match at the weekend, I thought it was the logical decision. Clearly wasn't the correct decision. We score 3 goals, we get our noses back in front.
Yeah.
We've got 5 forwards on the pitch at the time. There's a massive imbalance. We've gone for it. What's going to happen once you've scored 3 goals and took the lead off Sheffield United is they're going to gamble for the last 5 minutes. So preemptively knowing they're going to press forward, and when they have pressed forward, they've looked dangerous... Taken off Marshall, who wasn't effective, although he was okay holding the ball up, and Rashford and James aren't going to do that. They are going to press. You can understand in doing that and taking him off for Axel, who couldn't start, because I know loads of people was like, well, it's his fault Jones started. Maybe.
Yeah.
But it was still logical, and Axel couldn't have started. It was a logical decision to do what he did. And Jose did what he did this weekend.
Yeah.
And he did what he did with Fellaini against Everton, if you remember. People have been absolutely killing him for it. But if he hadn't, and we'd have kept attacking and conceded anyway, he'd have been crucified both ways.
Yeah. I think Solskjaer's big problem now is that, obviously, Pochettino's out there. So as soon as there's a bad result, you know the way the headlines are going to go. You know what's going to be all over Twitter. I mean, it was all over Twitter at 2-0 yesterday. It was all over Twitter at 1-0 at half time. So I was out yesterday. So I was driving back. So I missed a lot of the game. So I got back at half time, turned the telly on, and you know, United are losing. Look at Twitter, and even then, there's journalists basically like, you know, kind of, they're being a little bit, you know, sort of jokey, but it's kind of pointed as well. You know, it's like, you know, when's Ed going to be ringing Pochettino? 2-0, it sort of, the volume goes up again. As soon as there's a bad result, bad perform, you know, there's this sort of shadow behind Solskjaer now, you know, and, you know, sometimes we all put a little bit too much into what Twitter's saying and stuff, but yeah, it's a problem for him now. He has got a problem because basically there is a you know, elite manager out there who, despite having a bit of a troubled time at Tottenham, got them to a Champions League final. His time at Tottenham cannot be described as anything else but a brilliant success. He's turned Tottenham into a club that matters for the first time in years upon years. Of course, that's always going to be held against him, but. You know, I was going to say they were second. They actually finished third in a two-horse race, didn't they, with Leicester? But what the difference he's made in the way people perceive Tottenham is just, you know, he's a top manager. I think he's a top manager. And, yeah, he got a bit stale there. You know, they didn't change things well enough. You know, I'm sure there's, like we've been talking about recruitment there, you know, but he's been doing it on a shoestring, basically. Their net spend is you know, for a time it was negative. So he's actually got them, you know, in the top four without spending money, you know. Or certainly very little money, anyway. So that for Solskjaer is always going to be thrown back at him now. So, yeah, it's, you know, it finished 3-3 all. Could have, you know, United actually could have obviously won it apart from the very late goal. But, you know, if they don't play well next weekend, if they get beaten in the Manchester derby, again, it's just going to be...
It's Villa this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, got to win at 3 points.
Yeah, and then you've got the Manchester derby. So, you know what I mean. But the point I'm trying to make is, Solskjaer the volume has gone up on this whole kind of Solskjaer's position is back under scrutiny. Even before a ball had been kicked on a Sunday, yeah. People are talking about it, aren't they? It's like
weird, you know, time to bin him from Spurs' point of view as well.
Yeah,
so close well, to this weekend, like not immediately after the fixture.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure what happened behind the scenes. I must admit, I can't pretend I do know. But
let's make it up.
Yeah, it's not been a sudden thing, though, has it? It's been a drawn out thing. I mean, yeah. They're away result. That was the first. The win at the weekend was the first win they've had, apart from the one at the start of the year away from home in the league. So the Champions League run masked a lot of things. And I mean, they were brilliant those games. I covered Spurs in Europe and. But I mean, they had a bit of luck as well. You know, they could quite easily have gone out. Apart from, you know, at City, at Ajax. You know, I mean, they were amazing stories. But yeah, I mean, Pochettino, he's out there now, and you know, Bayern might take him. There's a lot of jobs might be coming up elsewhere. You know, would he contemplate going to Everton? Not sure. Maybe he might set his sights a bit higher.
He's in the firing line, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised sitting here today that he hasn't gone. Because when a crowd turns like Arsenal, I can't see Pochettino going to Arsenal. But then again, I'm never surprised by anything, you know, in football these days. So I wouldn't have seen Mourinho going there. But then I know Arsenal fans are suddenly campaigning for Mourinho to be Arsenal manager. Mm. I just think maybe it's just the way I think myself. But you know, I've covered so many stories on Arsenal and Mourinho where Mourinho has just killed Arsenal. You know, just taken great pleasure. You know, malicious pleasure in belittling Arsenal over the years, and now I'm talking to Arsenal fans.
You could see him turn up on the sideline like this, couldn't you?
Yeah, of course. And like Arsenal fans, but Arsenal fans I know who are mates with, like who actively wanted him, and now they've gone back to hating him. And I'm like, and now they want Pochettino, and I'm like, has football changed or something? Because like that's not the way it worked with me. It's like this. I'm lucky, I suppose. Well, I'm not lucky. I suppose not too far. But there's certain managers I don't want there. You know. Because of like, you know,
yeah,
the whole,
you could, you
know,
tell me the Klopp's amazing. I'm sitting there going, nah. Yeah, but he might win the league and Champions League this year.
When I saw Frank Lampard on Friday saying I could never manage Tottenham out of respect to Chelsea, not everyone will get that. I get that, and I think fair play. And I think Chelsea fans will really like that. Mourinho said the same 10 years ago, and Mourinho, as we know, is a politician, and he, you know, he does what he wants, basically. I actually think Frank Lampard means that. Yeah. Stuart Pearce, from going back to my team, said that he'd rather go in the Dole than take Derby County job. And he means that. And like, I get that, because and I like that, you know. You know, because that's what you want it to hear, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. Football is tribal. I don't know when it became fashionable, almost, for people to be so praising of your opposition. Like, oh, you can't admit Liverpool are good. No, I can't. I fucking hate it. I wake up devoured about it. And if Liverpool win the league this year, you're not going to see me praise them in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to go double down on how shit Pep is.
Well, this is when I talked about Solskjaer's problem with Pochettino. Solskjaer's other problem, it's a wider thing about United. At the moment, United are miles off, aren't they? We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got City. When I came up to Manchester to cover City, they were in the old third division.
used to go to
press, well, what I call a press conference, I would just rock up there whenever I wanted. There was nobody on the door, just go in. Speak to whoever you want. There's a little crappy cafe there. It was in the middle of Moss Side. There was like tramps wandering around outside, and it was just done. That's City fans. And you said that, not me. Basically, and then I'd ring my office. I was at the Guardian there. I'd ring the Guardian and like, you know, nobody wanted City in the papers. It was just so to see what City have become is is just a huge, incredible story for people that know about the Manchester football rivalry. So United fans have got that to contend with, and then they've got Liverpool, who are going to win the league, aren't they? They're going to win the league. So when you talk about the grumpiness of everything, and then you've got social media where people have got like an outlet to let it go. And I don't care what anyone says, the mainstream media are influenced a bit. They're probably too much by what you see on social media. So there's all this noise. Solskjaer's got all this noise. Pochettino's there. United fans, you know, massively pissed off because of what's happening. Not just because United have suddenly lost the plot for 6 years since Fergie's gone. But you've also got your two most dreaded rivals who are cleaning up and are only going to get better.
And Leeds are probably going to come up.
Well, I forgot about Leeds, yeah. I mean, Arsenal, I suppose Arsenal.
That's the only thing that's keeping us sane at the minute, that you can laugh at them a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I think they're still above us, but we can always laugh at Arsenal.
But I mean, it couldn't have come at a worse time for you. So, in a way, United fans at Old Trafford, and Mourinho says this, Van Gaal says this, the fans have been brilliant at games. It's a massive difference between at games and on social media. At games, Moyes didn't get much stick at games, but there's a plane going above. Saying so, there's a lot of grooming. It's United fans, to be fair,
which was organised online, it wasn't,
by match going fans. I think that was Red Issue. I shouldn't say that, Red Issue won't be happy. It was Red Issue's spin off forum, wasn't it? It wasn't the original Red Issue, but it's to be fair, United fans have got a lot of reason to be grumpy at the moment. There's a lot of things gone wrong. It's going to take years to get back.
And that's not even touching on the ownership.
We haven't even mentioned them. You've got City, Liverpool cleaning up, playing brilliant football, the type of football United want to play, isn't it? That's the other thing. It's not, you know, you're looking at, you know, it must be hard watching. I'm not a United fan, but it must be hard for you to watch City sometimes and Liverpool when they're playing like that and just think, Christ, that's what I want my team to play like. And then you watch yesterday, 75% of the game minimum United were outplayed.
Well, you're watching two Brazilians that can't move it forward up the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see all the game yesterday, so I can't claim it, but the bits I saw, the number of times I saw Fred give the ball away in his own half, or, you know, Pereira giving it away, and just, you know, half time Gary Neville was just killing them for lack of movement, not wanting it enough.
You kept going on, didn't you, about the attitude of
United. Yeah. I didn't see people pulling out of 50-50s, but it was just like the speed to get to the ball. Do you know what I mean? Just like how quick are you to get to the ball? How much are you moving off the pitch? And is there anyone that's visibly upset because you're losing?
Yeah,
you
know, and on the plus side, I think one of the most experienced player on the pitch is that.
Yeah.
In Brandon Williams. You know, I think he looks annoyed when we're not.
Yeah, he's got something, hasn't he?
He's a fucking loon.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way, yeah. But you can be that in a good way. So, yeah, I do. I like. He's got a bit of Nicky Butt about him. But yeah, is there enough people hurting on the pitch about it, you know? And then, like, the pressure, well, not pressure, but like, is Mason Greenwood going to be the man to get United out of this hole? Of course it shouldn't be on him. But that's what I mean about. So Solskjaer's saying, oh, Greenwood's going to play loads this year and stuff. And it's like, that gets positive headlines because people like United to have kids coming through because it's part. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not positive about that. I don't think that's going to get you anywhere nearer to Liverpool or City. You know, yeah, talented kid, and it's, you know, it's nearly 4,000 games now, isn't it, that you've had someone from the youth team. And that's one of the best stats in football, like, bar none. But don't, you know, don't think that Mason Greenwood, what is he, 17 still?
No, he's turned 18 October.
Right, so that he's going to be the answer to. That's not a positive headline to me. That means you've lost a 20 goal season striker, and yes, you've got a very talented kid there, but don't, you know.
No, if Mason Greenwood comes into the 2008 United side,
cool. Yeah, of course, come in, you know, play the odd game and like show us you're going to be a great player for the next 15 years. But you know, you can't, we've chatted about this, you can't get rid of a 20 goal player and not replace him and then just think, oh yeah, but it's good, no, you know.
And even Sanchez didn't work out as a United signing, as a United player, but that was a player that had scored 34 goals recently.
Well, when we talk about Solskjaer saying stuff in press conferences that maybe, I'm not sure he believes, you know, at the start of the season he was saying this could be Sanchez's year. Now, in reality, behind the scenes, people are making the inroads to move Sanchez on. And they're still paying him more than 90% of footballers in the country. You know, so they're paying him to be. I mean, how bad is that? They're paying him whatever it is. And I sometimes, you know, you take these figures with a pinch of salt, but I've seen all sorts of figures, but, you know, between 180 and 250 grand a week to play at another football club. I mean, you know, that on itself.
But
someone at United should be looking at that thinking. I'm not saying that's a resignation matter, but someone that should be thinking, my God, that is an absolute...
It's just a waste.
You know, in football terms, a catastrophe.
Of, millions and millions of pounds of, a season to
yeah,
not
and
play
just
it.
And the excuses, well, a year before, nobody was saying... When we signed him, nobody was saying he's finished. He's. But if you've been looking at him for a year, then you... I don't know. Why is it then?
It made sense to move him on, I think, because his wage seemed to create an imbalance.
I think the other players were hacked off of it.
Of course. If so you that's walk why in David, and go, hang on, am I worth... David, am I half as good as him?
That's why it took David... Well, one of the reasons why it took David De Gea months upon months to agree a contract, during which time, probably wasn't a coincidence, David De Gea's form spiralled because he's got all this going on behind. Maybe there's other stuff, you never know. I don't, you know, I can't say for absolute certain, but... David Hayes' agent's gone in there and said, you know, so the figures that were quoted in the papers, 350, it was miles more than that. I know that for a fact. Yeah, it was miles. He was asking for miles more than that. I don't know what it is. I just know that I was told the figures that were in the... And when I normally hear this, I think, right, the papers might have gone a bit too... got excited and gone a bit top-heavy. Said to me categorically, the figures in the papers are nowhere near. And, and I was like, right, is it... Anyone? No, it's miles up. So, you know... Completely speculating.
I feel fucking Hope Diamond every week.
Yeah, I'm completely speculating, but when I'm told it's miles up from 350, I'm thinking, what is he asking for, like $500,000 a week or something? You know, it's not like it's 360, 370. Yeah. It's you know. So I don't know whether they reached a compromise, but that is in part because. So you just think about the amount of millions you then, you know, kind of as an unseen sort of progress of the, put that badly, as a kind of a flaw of the Sanchez deal that
Phil Jones walks in and goes, you're paying him this much, I'm worth this much, least.
Yeah.
You know, everyone can walk in and say, you're paying him that, I want 100. Yeah, everybody. Like, no matter how bad you are.
Well, as soon as... Yeah, of course.
Or even, let's say, Greenwood now. Let's say it's time for him to renew. They're probably paying him 15 or something, I imagine, a week. He walks in and goes, I want 100, and they go, you're not getting 100.
The pacing is now dramatically gone. So these are all... So let's say De Gea's money's gone up from what he was on by 250 a week. So what's that a year? That's like 20-odd million a year. So the pay... So not everyone's going to go up so dramatically, but the pacing goes up and up and up. That's another load of money. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, United do have money, but it's just that money could be better spent elsewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like on a new stand.
Oh, bloody hell, we can go on forever here. Right, Dan, I'm going to leave it there.
Well, yeah. No, pleasure, mate. Chat. Yeah, thank you.
If you want to get into The Athletic, there is a free trial, so you can check it out totally free of charge. And you can also get 50% off the yearly subscription. Honestly, it's worth it because it is top writing. Like I said, you don't really cover match reports and things. It's all going off and finding your own stories, isn't it?
People know what happens in match reports. You've got to think a bit more adventurously. You know, people can follow match reports on Twitter, watch it on TV. When was the last time United went on TV? It's just, you know, everyone knows what. So a match report of a man kicked it over and another man headed it in is old journalism, and you've got to move forward and try and be a bit more. Just think of better ideas, basically. You know, just slightly more interesting stuff, and you know, hopefully we've been doing that, basically.
Yeah, and there's really good insight and interviews with all sorts of people that they can bring you as well. So trust me, it's worth it. It is the evolution of what's going on. It is a new home of football writing. The link is in the description if you fancy checking that out. Get your questions, comments, criticisms and abuse in the comments as usual. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Laters.